So what was Christmas like for you? Did anybody get anything interesting? Do anything interesting? What was yours like then?
Mama's like choo-choo trains.
Choo-choo trains. Did you get some? Some choo-choo trains?
Yes.
Do they go round on a little track?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. I'm coming round to play. Oh, sorry.
I saw some snowdrops in flower on Boxing Day morning in Forty Hall.
Snowdrops in flower on Boxing Day morning. The seasons haven't been affected by climate change whatsoever. It's all a figment of our imagination. Anybody else?
A loft ladder.
A loft ladder. Christmas presents indeed. A loft ladder. How delightful. I got a new pair of socks. Never mind. Anybody else? Oh, look. Oh, look, Deborah.
I got a new CD, Graham Kendrick.
A new Graham Kendrick CD. And how many times have you played it already?
Not yet.
You haven't played it yet? Oh, why? Okay.
I got some chickens.
Chickens?
Yeah.
Live ones?
Live ones.
Oh, my word. Oh.
For somebody else in Africa.
Oh. So you can't get any eggs out of it then?
No.
Because it'll take a while to get back. Anybody else? Any exciting other exciting things? What did you get up to? Beryl's back here.
I went to see Swan Lake at the Cardiff St David's Centre in Cardiff.
That was a long way to go just to see Swan Lake, wasn't it? Eh? Yeah, brilliant, lovely. Going to Swan Lake. I probably did about 200 miles. No, I must have done about 400 miles down to Southampton and back up to Chatteris. 2 days running, but that's not too bad. It's not too bad. It took me longer to get to Chatteris, which is closer to us, than it did to get to Southampton. Never mind. Never mind. Anybody else do anything exciting? I'm sure you all did. Bills. Bills can.
Last weekend was my daughter's 21st birthday, and we went go-karting.
Should I ask who won?
Not me.
And he hasn't broken any legs. And Pamela and David went skiing and they're still in one piece, which is lovely. It's wonderful to see that they're still in one piece. Now we're going to hear some words from Luke's Gospel.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them to stay in the inn.
Story that we've all heard so often and probably heard more again over the Christmas period. But now I'm going to ask you to do something on your tables. And that is to think through the whole Christmas story from the moment the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple right the way through to the killing of the children at the end of the story, or the end of what we generally pick up as the Christmas period. I want you on your tables just to pause for a moment or two and just to think about which character in all of those stories you most closely associate with. Who do you feel drawn to the most? Who captivates you the most? Who encourages you or inspires you or makes you think, whatever it is? Just think for a moment or two and then just talk on your tables about who that is and why it is. I'll give you about 5 minutes or 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes to do that. Give me time to get another coffee. That's given you 3 minutes or so, hasn't it? So does anybody want to share their thoughts about any particular character in the Christmas story with everybody rather than just their table? Over there. Go on then.
We'll go first. My first thought was with Joseph.
Joseph.
He's always in the background, has to put up with all the stigma of an unmarried, pregnant bride, betrothed.
Yep.
And he's always in the background, but he sticks by his girlfriend,
yep,
fiance, through,
yep,
thick and thin.
Yep.
But he's always in the background.
Yep.
Being faithful to his bride.
Thank you. Joseph, anybody else want to go for somebody else?
Been told I've got to.
Go on then.
Well, you know that Jewish people have to be very hospitable. I don't think the Holy Family stayed in the inn or the stable very long, because when the astrologers came, it says they went to the house where he was, and I think some Jewish family took them in.
Very interesting, very interesting. I'm trying to think who was at which services over Christmas, because they might have heard a take on that. Which surprisingly was that it was, I think it must have been Melanie spoke about it at Winchmore Hill in the evening, and it surprisingly it was also covered in the Daily Bible notes that day, which was actually, it's something to do with the word for the accommodation. So you're probably on a very good track there, a very good track. Anybody else want to throw somebody else in to the mix? Behind me.
The innkeeper or the innkeeper's wife, whoever it was that thought outside the box, no, we don't have any rooms, but you can have the stable.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Good. So now we're going to hear a little bit more of the Christmas story.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them.
So goodwill henceforth to all humankind begin and never cease. So we're 36 hours and 13 minutes away from 2019. What are your hopes for the new year? What would you like to see in the new year? There's one rule for today, no swearing. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
people to think of others as well as not just themselves, as the politicians are seen to be doing.
People to think of others, not just themselves. That's wonderful. Anyone else want to share anything? Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to listen to me then. I've got three things. There are some pieces of paper that I've put on your tables, which if you turn them over, not the quiz, the other one, there's a quote that I found earlier in the week, which I quite like. Lord, what you call compassion, others call weakness. What you call conviction, others call dissidence. What you call love, others call mixing with sinners. We pray that we too might be found weak, dissident, and in bad company, especially if it means we are closer to you. And so, what I'd like for the new year is for us to do three things. Firstly, to use our minds more. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to use wisely all the time we have. Teach us to use wisely all the time we have. And in terms of using our minds, I've put a couple of things underneath that, which are two things that happened this week, because I don't think we ask questions enough. The government announced that it was going to do more research into Christians that are persecuted all around the world. There are 144 countries around the world where Christians are persecuted. There are 142 countries around the world where Muslims are persecuted. Why do we need to focus on Christians? That's the question I asked myself this week. We also had the UK treating the rise in migrant channel crossings as a major incident. Do you know how many refugees there are around the world? There's 65.6 million displaced persons around the world. And we're in a panic about a few possibly coming into the country. In case anybody thinks I've just got one thing against this government, let me just reassure you that in the last probably 50 years now, the gap between the richest and the poorest in this country has widened every year, whatever government has been in power. Every year. So I want us to use our minds more to question, to debate with what we hear on the news, on the radio, on the television, in the newspapers. We should be thinking about what we're hearing and not being afraid of challenging it. Mind. Secondly, I want us to use our heart more. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. Unless we find a passion in our hearts for Jesus Christ, we won't be able to do anything. Or we might be able to do some things, but it will have no effectiveness unless our motivation is from love. Love for one another, love for our neighbour, love for our community, love for Enfield, love for the United Kingdom, which will prompt us to pray for all these situations that we discover day by day. Mind, heart, and thirdly, I'd want to encourage us to develop our spiritual life. To recognize, as 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, that anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And in 2 Corinthians it says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And it's not just as we approach the ending of the year and the start of a new year that that can happen. New things can happen for us every day. Change in our life, change in our thinking, change in our heart is something that is done and achieved by the Spirit of God working in our lives. And Peter writes to the people he was writing to and says, which I think is a good thing for us to think about as we look to starting a new year, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it comes back again to that message of Christmas, that love came down at Christmas, and love is what we're here to share with one another, with our communities, and with our country, and with our world. So there's a question on the back of the sheet as well that says something about what are the pressing issues for you, for your churches, for your communities, for your country, for the world. That's something that I'd like you to go home today in a moment or two and reflect on and pray about.